WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Alan Lomax, one of the most important folklorists of the 20th century, died Friday at the age of 87. We're going to listen back to an excerpt of our 1990 interview. Lomax devoted his life to the study of folk culture in America and around the world. His father, John Lomax, was one of the first popularizers of American folk songs. The father and son were the first folklorists to travel around the American South, documenting songs on portable recording machines. They both contributed thousands of field recordings to the Library of Congress's Archive of American Folk Song, which John Lomax founded in 1941. Alan Lomax was the first person to record Leadbelly, Muddy Waters, and Woody Guthrie. He frowned on what he considered commercial music, but he recorded an important oral history with Jelly Roll Morton. He introduced Americans to musicians in every type of folk music through field recordings he made on porches, living rooms, plantations, prisons, and chain gangs. His 1959 recording of a chain gang at Mississippi State Penitentiary is featured on the popular O Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack. You and your father were, I think, the first people to actually record in prison camps in the South. Why did you want to go there to record songs?
Well, there's always been an anomaly in the black community. All secular songs, then this follows out my Calvinist hypothesis, were considered sinful. Anything that wasn't religious was sinful. So that the whole of the secular, great secular song art of the black, the blues, the hollers, the work songs, all the casual songs of amusement were forbidden. You could be churched. You could be kicked out of the church for singing them if you were a black person in a respectable black community. So that it was very difficult for us to get at this rich and unknown treasure trove of American music and lyricism without in the normal black community. People were scared to sing them, scared of criticism. So we decided to go where the devils were. I mean, the people who were beyond redemption. And we found them in the prisons, and we recorded a whole literature, which is still virtually unknown. Beautiful tunes, new kinds of melodies, and all sorts of things we found in the prison camps of the South.
I think the best known of the recordings that you made of prisoners was your recordings with Leadbelly, and you continued to record him after he got out. Let me play one of the recordings you made by Leadbelly, and this is Midnight Special. Would you like to say a few words about the circumstances under which you recorded it or the song itself?
Well, Leadbelly had been in the Texas pen a couple of times, but we found him in the Louisiana penitentiary where prisoners were not allowed to sing in the fields, but they could have their own entertainers. And Leadbelly was a camp entertainer. He had his guitar there. And we went to camp number one, and when he heard we were there, he ran 100 yards from his cell to where we were, arrived without even breathing hard, and sat down and sang. Irene Goodnight was the first song he sang us, and he sang a song to appeal to the governor of Louisiana to let him out of there, because woman was mourning for him. And then he sang, among other things, the great Midnight Special, which is actually the song of the main theme song of the Texas Penitentiary, Let the Midnight Special Shine Its Ever-Loving Light on You. Think of prisoners who don't know whether they'll live through the next day, who are working from dawn in the morning till dark at night, who, if they fall afoul of a guard, may be beaten to death, hanging on the bars, absolutely stone weary, and watching the headlight of some onrushing train flash across the walls of their prison and into their faces. That's the mood of the song.
fast she walks, umbrella on her shoulder, feed the paper in her hand. Well, I'm going in at the governor, he's trying to lose him, my man. Let the midnight special shine your light on me. Let the midnight special shine a heaven-loving light on me. When I get up in the morning, when that big bell rings, over marching to the table, need the same old thing. Not the talker on the table, there's nothing in my pants. Never said a thing about it, have trouble with the man. Let the midnight special shine your light on me.
We'll continue our 1990 interview with folklorist Alan Lomax after a break. He died on Friday. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to the 1990 interview I recorded with folklorist Alan Lomax. He died Friday at the age of 87.
I want to ask you about, I think, what's considered to be among the most important recordings you've ever made, and I'm thinking of the recordings you made with Jelly Roll Morton, the Library of Congress recordings, which features both him singing and playing, as well as talking about his life. How did you get to make those recordings with him?
Well, as I used a recording machine in the field, I began to discover that what an artist would say about the song at the end of a performance was usually psychologically and emotionally very revealing. And I began to record more and more of these codas to songs. And gradually, the codas began to stretch out longer and longer until I was recording whole life histories. And I had done a number of these by the time Jelly Roll came to the Library of Congress, anxious to prove to the world that jazz was not from Memphis, as Handy had said it was in a Billboard interview, but was from New Orleans. And Jelly Roll, an extraordinary intellectual he was, had the whole story worked out when he came to me in my office, which was backstage of the Coolidge Auditorium, the Library of Congress. On the stage was a grand piano. Jelly Roll sat down at the piano and began to tell the story of jazz.
Let me play a short excerpt of the oral history that you recorded. Jelly Roll Morton is talking about when he started to play in the Tenderloin District in New Orleans.
In my younger days, I was brought in to the Tenderloin District by friends. Young friends, of course. Even before we were in long pants, we used to steal long pants from around the fathers and brothers and uncles and so forth and so on.
Could you go down there before you had long pants on?
No, why, the policeman would run you right in jail. It'd run you ragged. Of course, we kids from time to time would climb those 8 and 10 feet high board fences. We'd really climb them and get away from these people, but they kept us right out of the district. They'd take the straps on the end of the clubs and just make switches out of them, cut our legs into ribbons. And was very frightened, very much frightened. I happened to invade that section, one of the sections of the district where the birth of jazz originated.
Where was this? How old were you?
At that time, that was the year of 1902. I was about 17 years old. I happened to go to Villeray and Bienville. At that time, one of the most famous night spots after everything was closed. No, only a back room where all the greatest pianists frequented after they got off from work.
Jelly Roll Morton, recorded by my guest Alan Lomax back in 1938. How do you think your role as folklorist has changed over the years? Or perhaps I should ask, how do you think the role of the folklorist has changed?
Well, so far as I'm concerned, I'm still doing the thing that I was inspired to do in my early recording sessions when people would look at the microphone and say, Mr. President, I want you to come down here and help us people where we are in our hard times in this place. They looked at my father and myself as a channel to tell their troubles and to let their lives be known. That's what I've essentially tried to do all my life.
Alan Lomax, recorded in 1990. He died Friday at the age of 87.